The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program, but first, just to update you on the pack last night in Columbus. Well, actually, going back two nights, on Sunday night, we had 276 people in attendance. I forget the breakdown as far as members and non-members, but there were 12 who followed up, or who signed up, rather, for the follow-up Bible study following that first night. As you know, if you listened to yesterday's program, or if you visited thetrumpet.com yesterday, there was a special video that was about the first 25 minutes or so of my father's presentation in Columbus. So a really nice turnout for that first night, and exciting for all the rest of us to be able to see that video and to hear about what he talked about there at the first part of the pack Sunday evening. The second night, last night, Monday night, there was 115 people, so about half, I guess a little less than half, of what they had Sunday night. 36 of them were non-members, and 16 signed up for the follow-on Bible study. It says here in the report I received that people came to that pack from 8 different states. Of course, Ohio's right there in the upper Midwest, somewhat toward the east of the U.S., surrounded by lots of states. It's not the largest state in the union. But in any event, people were coming from a long distance. One came from New York. I think it was about a five-hour drive. So always exciting to hear about people coming in to hear God's truth and coming from a long way. It's also good to get some feedback, and we have been getting quite a lot of feedback over the past few days, and in particular in response to yesterday's program and to the trumpet brief that we sent out last night, and also that video that the TV department produced from the PAC event on Sunday night. So coming up on today's show, later on in the show, we'll get through as many of those emails as possible. Speaking of email and that video that my father posted, or that they posted from Sunday night, this particular listener says, prophecy once again fulfilled, writing in response to all that's been happening in France with the centenary, and then President Macron's statements, as we covered on yesterday's show. But she says here, Mr. Armstrong talked about the way these brothers would betray Joseph, and it's going according to plan. I was not able to go to the pack in Ohio, although I had my tickets and everything, even stayed with the brethren to leave for that wonderful event, so she wasn't able to make it for some reason. But it says here, so thankful that the first part of that message was posted on the website. Thank you so much for your service to God. So again, if you haven't seen that video from Sunday night, it's there still at thetrumpet.com somewhere. I haven't checked it in the last couple of hours, but I'm sure it's somewhere there at the top of the page. Well, there's so much in the news, and we've been focusing on this centenary and the comments leading up to it, and what was said on Sunday. But I'm sure you've noticed you have this inferno raging in California, more wildfires. If we have time later on in this segment, we'll update you on some of the latest facts and figures from that. Of course, there's the ongoing struggle in Florida as the Democrats are trying to steal an election. They're starting the recount, I think, for the senator's race, and then also for the governor, and probably some other state positions as well. Besides that, we've got Israel and Gaza. This is not covered at all in the news. Israel and Gaza, though, are on the brink of another large-scale war. In fact, our Jerusalem correspondent, Brent Nachtigall, he is at the Gaza border. Even as we speak, we had an email exchange earlier this morning, and we're And we're interested in having a Skype hookup for the radio show today, but he didn't make it back to Jerusalem in time. He's down in Sderot, which is the Israeli border city, or the Israeli city that borders the Gaza Strip, and he's on tour with a group of journalists there, basically viewing. I'm sure he's even seen some rockets fired. I think over the last 24 hours, something like 400 rockets, have been fired into Israeli cities. There's at least one death and quite a few people in Israel that have been wounded from this. About a fourth of those rockets have been shot down by the Iron Dome, Israel's defense system. But here again, it's heating up all over the world. And I could spend 20 or 30 minutes on any of those topics that I just rattled off there. But I have to return again to Europe, to France. Yesterday's show, if you haven't listened to it, go to thetrumpet.com and make sure that you listen to that program. We hit a few of the highlights last night in the Trumpet Brief, where I said that Herbert Armstrong was right. Britain is on the way out of that beast power described in Revelation 17, but France is definitely in. France is very much in. Listen to this. This is from CNN yesterday. This commentator, I forget the man's name, but he's talking about Emmanuel Macron, the comments that he made, and the positioning that's going on the world stage. Clip one.
You know, we talked so long about the Trump-Macron bromance. The reality is they're frenemies. And it's Macron right now isn't just trying to be the leader of Europe with Britain detached. He may be taking a step to be the leader of the free world with the United States taking a step back as well. And that should be troubling.
And I thought that comment was interesting, given what my father said Sunday night. Remember, I played this clip for you yesterday, but he talked about how that President Macron may be dreaming of filling that top position in Europe. They know it's coming, and so they're angling for the best position to make a run for it. This, as a reminder, is what my father said Sunday night, clip two.
I think President Macron is maybe dreaming of, well, maybe I might even become the leader of this European power that's rising up. And it's already there. They know it's there. They just know they have too many nations and they're going to pare them down.
Too many nations that need to be pared down or downsized. But the leaders, they know the empire is there. They know the economy is there. They know that the political union is there. They know they need a military. That's the one thing remaining. They need the military. But the empire is there. We'll talk more about that here in just a second. This statement made by the finance minister of France. Last week, it was the real European army. That's what Mr. Macron was calling for. Well, and then you know all about the lead up to that ceremony on Sunday, and then the comments that President Macron made there in that ceremony with President Trump in attendance, talking about the evil of nationalism, saying it was the opposite of patriotism. President Trump just tweeted out about an hour ago. He said Emmanuel Macron suggests building its own army to protect Europe against the U.S., China, and Russia. But it was Germany. Listen to this. It was Germany in World Wars I and II. How did that work out for France? President Trump tweeted. They were starting to learn German in Paris before the U.S. came along. Pay for NATO or not. That's the president pointing out an uncomfortable truth. And of course, he's tweeting that, thinking that, well, we need to continue on insisting that they pay their fair share. But as we know, and prophecy tells us this, NATO is on the way out. Do you think that tweet, as true as it is, do you think that's really going to bring Europe closer to the United States? Do you think that's really going to draw the United States and France closer together? Look, you're saying you want to build an army for protection against the U.S., but it was Germany. As I recall, it was Germany that started World War I and II. How did that work out for you, France? Those are some strong words coming from the United States, coming from the U.S. president. And France has had some strong words in return. This finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, he gave this exclusive interview with Handelsblatt, the German publication. And Handelsblatt writes, it is all very well to express European unity during memorials for the fallen and past world wars, but genuine unity, political, financial, and military, is still lacking inside the European Union. According to France's finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, genuine unity, it's still lacking. And what unity are we looking for here? Political, financial, military? Does that sound familiar, those three? Clip six.
Europe will reunite, and they will form a new empire, a new nation. Political, with one currency, one military force, one government.
That's Herbert Armstrong from 1984. He was saying that in 1960s. He was saying it in the 1940s. Political, financial, or economic, and military. That's leading the German publication Handelsblatt just today. It says here, in an exclusive interview with Handelsblatt, he indicates, this is the French finance minister, he indicates that Paris is more than willing for more Europe. And the ball is now in Berlin's court. How about that? Germany and France. Of course, France is going to play second fiddle to Germany. We know this. Mr. Macron, he may be dreaming of filling that top spot, but it's going to go to a German. Reuben, as we wrote in the trumpet brief last night, Reuben is going to hitch its fate with biblical Assyria, playing second fiddle to the German-dominated European empire. The empire's coming. A union, a political union, a military union, as well as an economic union. The economic union's there. The political union is there for the most part. Certainly the empire is there. It needs the strong man for sure. And then it needs the military. But what about what Mr. Armstrong said, and my father too, together with that? The fact that you've got this nuclear arsenal all across the continent, it's just sitting there. France itself has its own bombs. The ball's in Berlin's court, says France. In other words, look, Germany, take the lead. We want you to take the lead. Germany! This same Germany that started World War I and then World War II. How'd that work out for France? The Telegraph today calls this extraordinary, this man's comments, the French finance minister. In extraordinary comments, Mr. Le Maire said Europe must become a form of empire like China and the U.S., willing to deploy its full economic, monetary, technological, and cultural power on the world stage to confront the two great superpowers. The Telegraph just left out the military component. But that's brought out in Handelsblatt. They need it. They need an empire. They need a military to confront China and the U.S. of all nations. And then it quotes Le Maire. He says, I'm talking about a peaceful empire. Oh, a peaceful one, just like it's been in history. A peaceful European empire. A peaceful Holy Roman Empire. Like Charlemagne, for example. Like Napoleon. Like Otto the Great. Is that what your history book says about those empires of old? Peaceful? I'm talking about a peaceful empire based on the rule of law. I use the term to sharpen awareness that we are going into a world where power matters. We're entering a world where power matters, says the French finance minister. Europe should no longer shrink from deploying its power. Are you listening to this? Do you see what's happening? These prophecies are accelerating. My father brought that out yesterday as well, or Sunday night. Switching back over to Handelsblatt, it says the European Union should become a peaceful empire in order to stand up to China and the U.S. And although thanks to their wartime history, some Germans may find his talk of empire unattractive, Lemaire explains that, "I'm using this phrase because in tomorrow's world, it's going to be all about power." Technological, some of this repeats what's in the Telegraph. Economic, financial, monetary, cultural power, all will be decisive. It says Europe cannot be shy any longer about using its power. So he says there in the article that the Germans may find this talk of empire unattractive given their history. But look, Europe, he says, this time he says Europe, not Germany. Europe can't be shy any longer about using its power. We're entering into a new age, a new world where power matters, where we've got to start using our power. Are you listening to these prophecies as they're being fulfilled? Are you watching as Jesus admonished us to do? Watch and pray always. It says in the passage in Revelation about the seven church eras, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Are you hearing the Spirit? Do you hear God's message? These events are happening fast. As my father stressed on Sunday night, we played this clip for you yesterday, clip 9.
It wasn't but just a few months ago where Mr. Trump went to Paris and he was treated like the most royalty you'd ever have on this earth. And you'd think, man, we're really getting along well with him. That was just a few months ago. And now, look what he says. He says, here's what he said. That we've got to build up this military so we may have real military problems with China and Russia and the United States. Now, that shocked a lot of people, and it should. But there is that spirit in Europe. You have to face that.
The spirit is the spirit of Charlemagne. It's not going to be a peaceful empire. Never mind what he says. The spirit. They're resurrecting the spirit of Charlemagne. And it's important for us to hear what God's Spirit is saying to the churches. These events are unfolding. It's like rapid fire now. It's every day that you wake up. Last week, it's the French president. We need a real European army. And he says that, as it turns out, and this was all planned, he says it just days before Donald Trump arrives in France. And then at the ceremony on Sunday, he rebukes the U.S. president, even as he spends the weekend getting all cozy with the German chancellor, the one that's outgoing, by the way. And then now you have the French finance minister. He's calling for an empire. He says we're entering into a new world, a world where power matters. What kind of power are we talking about? He says we need an empire in Europe to confront China, to confront America. Well, listen to Mr. Armstrong again. This is something that he was saying decades and decades ago. Here's a sample in clip 5.
Well, what they want is political union. What they want is one military force. What they want is one great world power.
That's from a sermon back in 1982. How could he have known? How could he have known that Britain would be no part of it? How could he have known that France would be? How could he have known that France would play second fiddle to Germany? How could he know? How could he know all of this? Economic, political, and yes, military. Are you hearing what the Spirit says to the church? Where is this leading? The prophet Ezekiel says, "For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Eternal, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed." That's what it takes to get people's attention. Most people are still in the dark. Most people have still buried their heads in the sand. And yet we're telling you the truth. We have to talk about this desolation first, because that's what happens in the lead up to Christ's return. But look, there is hope. Our hope is in that return of Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom. But why do we have to go through this to finally pay attention? As he says in the same chapter, this is Ezekiel 33, God says, "Why will you die, O house of Israel? Why will you die? Why don't you sit up and take note? Why don't you listen to what I'm saying?" Verse 30 in Moffat says, "As for you, O son of man, your people are talking about you in the streets and at the doors of their houses, saying to one another, come and let us hear what the word from the Eternal is today." Oh, there's some Laodiceans that are out there talking about the message, but they're not acting. And that too is prophesied. You talk about fulfilled prophecy. They like to hear the message. Mr. Armstrong, oh sure, yeah, oh I love those sound bites. It was spot on. 50 years ahead of time, 60, 70 years ahead of time. They love to hear the message. They even know it's the message of God. They're even urging others to come and listen to it. But what's the problem? Where's the breakdown? Verse 31 says, "And they come unto you as the people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them." That's the problem. Hearers, but not doers. They're deceiving themselves, as James 1 says. Hearers, but not doers. It says, "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness." Look, we're encountering this. Even at these packs that we're trying to tell you about, we want you to be excited about God's work and the ever-expanding reach of God's work. But at the same time, there's people that attend those packs that think that they talk as if they're already right with God. That they talk like they're in the church. And they're not there yet. Hopefully they will be. And of course, that's just a very small number compared to the number that read the trumpet or that listen to the Key of David or watch it or that maybe listen to this program. You whittle it down, you get about 10% of the trumpet readers that say, sure, I'd love to go to the pack. And then from there, you get about 50% of that 10% that actually show up for the pack. And then just a few in the weeks that follow for the follow-up Bible studies. There's not that many that actually hear and do. It's hard to find people who are interested in God's truth, interested enough to do something with God's truth. It's hard when times are pretty good. But look, open your eyes and look at what's happening. Look at these statements coming out of France, coming out of Europe, coming out of Germany. Turn off, if you're in America, turn off CNN and MSNBC for a moment and get on the internet and look at thetrumpet.com. Get a subscription to The Trumpet Brief. Get a subscription to The Trumpet Magazine so that you can watch and pray always, so that you can watch unto prayer. These prophecies are unfolding right before our eyes. Handelsblad, it quotes that finance minister in France saying, "We have talked about it for a long time," this European empire, that is. "We've talked about it for a long time. Now it's time for decisions," he says. And there will be decisions made on December 4th at the next meeting of the economy and finance ministers. I cannot imagine anything else. Look, we're moving forward. We have to. We have to. And then it quotes him saying, this is Lemaire, the French finance minister, "Everybody knows it takes guts to stand in the way of Donald Trump's administration. Everybody knows this. He's the one that we've got to confront. He's the one that's pure evil." The American president, says the French finance minister, even as France cozies up to Germany. Well, what about a little bit of history? As President Trump tweeted out this morning, we're here at the 100-year anniversary. How about it? How did that work out for France? How would it have worked out were it not for American troops streaming over there by the tens of thousands in 1918? And then again, 20-some years later, storming the beaches of Normandy, British soldiers, American soldiers, just being mowed down by the Germans, occupying France without Germany's support in all these issues. Lemaire will find it. This is Handelsblatt. Without Germany's support in all these issues, Lemaire will find it difficult to turn Europe into an empire. Yes, we need Germany to take the lead. Germany's good at building empires, you see. Germany's good at building empires. Now, I'm the French finance minister. And what I'm talking about here, it may sound provocative, but look, we're talking about a peaceful empire. This is going to be a peaceful one, quite unlike any other one in history. But they say peace, 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 when there is no peace. We want Germany. It says, Franco-German agreement has been the engine of European integration, and without it, the continent is more impotent than powerful. There's the core of the beast power, the German-led Holy Roman Empire. France is attached to the hip, prophesied to be in. Herbert Armstrong was right. Britain's not going to be a part of it, but France sure will be. Listen to what Mr. Armstrong said back in his radio days. This is clip 3.
Gradually, and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe. A resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
The world will be startled. They shouldn't be. But your Bible says that it will be that way. They're going to be startled because they're not watching any of these things. They're not watching one bit of it. Yesterday, CSU leader in Germany, the Bavarian Party, the sister party to Angela Merkel's party, Horst Seehofer, he announces his intention to step down as the CSU leader. That's the sister party of Merkel's. And so now you have these two main parties, these two conservative parties, both are going to have new leaders in the months ahead. Now, Seehofer said he wasn't sure about exactly how he would, or when even, he would resign. But still, he's probably going to give more details next week. But step back and understand the significance here. The Spectator today noted that Germany, even as France is saying all of this, in opposition to the United States, even as France is out there saying that the United States is the bad guy, you have Germany undergoing this massive change in leadership right now. All of these prominent conservative leaders stepping down all at once. The Spectator says the German politicians who were once larger than life figures dominating their political parties as easily as they dominated Germany's political discourse are fast becoming dinosaurs. I mean, these are dramatic, earth-shaking changes that are happening. What is this lack of leadership in German politics? Where is this leading? It says here in the Spectator, if future party officials of the CDU, CSU, and SPD don't move quickly in a comprehensive effort to improve their reputations, regain the trust of the voters, and convince them that Germany's major parties aren't stewards of defective governance, each of them will be treading perilous waters. Who can Germany turn to for political stability, we're looking at a massive political upheaval right now in Germany. Even as I say, even as France is there saying, Germany, take the lead, please. We need an empire. We need an army. We need a leader. And wouldn't you know, Germany's in the midst of a leadership crisis. That's about to change, though. That's why we're having you watch individuals like Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg. He's not into politics now, but that could change in a hurry. Is he the one that could be the catalyst for political unity in Germany first and then in Europe? Seehofer's already tried to persuade Guttenberg to get back into it. Now, as his party struggles for leadership, is this something that will finally prod the former defense minister to return to politics? He's been out of politics since 2011. My father has a couple of articles coming up in the next print edition. This won't be out for a few weeks, but here's just a bit of a sneak preview. He writes, Karl Theodor zu Guttenberg quit politics in 2011, but the memory of his charisma is still there, and many Germans still talk about him. Last year, German Spiegel magazine wrote that if the former defense minister, Guttenberg, would return from the U.S. exile to Germany and demand the leadership of his party, he would win them in no time. Earlier this year, the British Express newspaper referred to him as Angela Merkel's possible successor. Well, now his party, the leadership of his party, he's stepping down. What next for Germany? You think about Herbert Armstrong's signature prophecy, as we've called it before, or this keynote prophecy. A political union, a military union, an economic union of 10 nations in Europe, rising as the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. He was first warning about this back at the end of World War II. I played a couple clips for you already. Here's one more example of that, clip 4.
Now, a united Europe will bring about a power, a superpower, because the nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it. And it's possible that the now present Pope may, or a future one, however it may be, extend his good offices to help them bring about what they would like to have in Europe, not only economical cooperation, but an absolute political union with a common currency and a common military force. There is a great deal of nuclear power and weapons over there belonging to the United States, but which they could easily just take over.
Now, that may have seemed far-fetched back in 1978 when he first said that, but it's not seeming so strange now. Not when you look at what's happening. A U.S. president saying, look, you guys need to pay your fair share. You need to take care of yourselves. And then France. And again, look at how it's changed. As my father said, just in the last few months, I mean, for a while there, Macron, he reached out to President Trump, and then same with Merkel. But now look, just a few months later, America's the problem. We need a real army. We need a real army to be able to stand firm against America. And what about that arsenal that's still there? All across the continent. All of those American-made bombs. What could possibly happen to all of those weapons? Right in the midst of these earth-shaking changes in politics, Jeremiah 30 and verse 3 says, for lo, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Eternal, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall possess it. Israel and Judah. Now, when Jeremiah wrote this, they had gone into captivity 100 years earlier, or at least Israel had. Judah was about to go into captivity. But what could this be talking about? Another captivity. It says it in the verse. Again, I will bring again the captivity of my people. It says in verse 7, the memory verse, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It's even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob, the one who gave birth to all those sons, Reuben and Joseph. It's a time of trouble for Joseph in particular, the United States and Britain, the worst trouble that they've ever experienced. After Reuben betrays the brother, after Assyria, ancient Assyria, finally gets a third opportunity to do what it wanted to do in World War I, and then again in World War II. History's repeating itself, only this time there is no watchman, no political watchman, to save Israel. Not like World War II. I mean, we very nearly lost it in World War II. Were it not for Churchill. Daniel 12:1 calls it a time of trouble like this world has never, ever seen. Not since there was a nation. And you know about what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Look at the troubling times that we're in. When Mr. Armstrong said this in 1978, when prophecy tells us this is to be the time of Jacob's trouble, that means primarily the United States and the British people. What a time of trouble we're entering into. Listen again to Mr. Armstrong's radio show. This is clip 7.
Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Now that one there is from his radio show back in the 50s or 60s. That was back when the United States and Great Britain, when they were rebuilding Europe and urging Europe to come together. And of course, it was U.S. power that eventually caused the collapse of communism in the East. The wall came down. That was President Reagan, as strong as he was, as conservative as he was. Look at how instrumental he was in bringing down communism, or the USSR. And that allowed for Germany to unite. And that allowed for the Eastern Bloc to come on in to this prophesied union. Well, Russia has since experienced a resurgence. China is on the rise. Japan is rebuilding its military as fast as possible. They see the new world that's coming. It's like the French finance minister says, this is a new world we're entering into, where power speaks. That's why we need an empire. That's why we need an army. They're going to get one, but it's not going to be a peaceful empire, not by a long shot. History tells us, Bible prophecy tells us. Mr. Armstrong said this for decades and decades and decades. Just look into past history, he said. It's not like you just have to rely on the Bible alone. Just look into past history. I mean, are you serious? I mean, you could have easily had a tweet aimed at presidents, whoever, back in the 50s and 60s. You're really going to rebuild that empire? How'd that work out for you in the past? So much ignorance on display every day. So much ignorance. The world is in darkness. John 3 says that Jesus came into this world as a light to this world, but men loved darkness. We just love to dwell in the dark, spiritually speaking. We want for God to stay out of our business. And, well, if we do get religious, we just want to hear the message. We want to sit back and do our own thing, but we can tune in, we can hear it, because it's like a lovely song. Boy, those sound bites are great. Mr. Armstrong was spot on back in 1960, 1965, 1973, 1982. 1984. And my father's continued right along in those same steps. Very similar statements in recent years. Very similar to what Mr. Armstrong said decades ago. My father said in the Key of David program, Europe's dirty secret. This is from a few years ago, clip 8.
Now they've already begun to build their own military, which is destined to become a world-shaking superpower. And that European Union is absolutely domineered by Germany.
We've been saying it and saying it and saying it. We've said it repeatedly. We've found different ways to say the same thing. We've run repeats of the same message. And now they're headlines at Handelsblatt, at The Telegraph, The Times, Der Spiegel, AFP, The Jerusalem Post. You go right down the line. The signs of the times we're in. We're living in the last days. And God is pleading with you, with anyone who will listen to this message. Don't just treat it like it's a lovely tune on the radio. Be moved by it. Be moved to action. Ask the same question that those prospective members asked in Acts 2. What should we do? What are we supposed to do with this? If you take that as your approach, God will lead you right where you need to go. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with quite a few emails that have come in over the last several days, some really interesting ones, and also one that was written in the form of a poem. You don't want to miss that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And if you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
And welcome back to the program. We've gotten quite a few emails over the last week, quite a few in response to yesterday's show, as well as last night's Trumpet Brief. But a few from last week here to begin with. It says, thank you. Thank you all at the Trumpet for the daily reporting, the events I see taking place, and what I know is prophesied to take place is humbling and eye-opening. Please pray for me and all who listen and support this end-time work of God. My fear and faith in God is not where it should be, but I'm still fighting. God bless you and keep up the good work. This one here comes from Texas. It says, I heard that you were going to do a 100-year anniversary segment on the end of World War I. I really look forward to hearing this program. Well, as it turns out, we've done a couple of shows on that, and we have more, I think, coming up in the days ahead. In any event, he says, I just wanted to add, in case you were unaware, that World War I started on the ninth day of Av. That would be according to the Hebrew calendar. Not on the day of the assassination, but on the day Germany declared war, it says, which was on the ninth day of Av on the sacred calendar. World War I is really the first domino that leads into World Wars II and III. By the way, he says, I've never missed a TDR program since Brexit. I may run three or four programs behind, but I always catch up. This one here says, it's quite sad that the major media covered up what they did about Louis Farrakhan and Barack Obama. It is not only sad, it's quite sickening. I don't know why evil cannot be exposed for what it is by the media. I'm witnessing people losing their minds, their sense of logic, and common sense. This truly is a spiritual force working on people behind the scenes. It is so abundantly clear, thanks to you and your literature coming from the PCG. Another one here says, I appreciate very much how you and your staff have identified how the fake news is not reporting so many dirty secrets and how this behavior relates to Bible prophecy and the degenerate conditions of the end time. My own experience from my school days and from beginning to end of my working career was that most people were faking it. Hence, the current news is all fake. Another one here comes from Massachusetts. And it says, so you're looking with a certain amount of awe at Mr. Trump's energy and high performance level. I think I brought this out a week or so ago, just about his energy leading up to the midterm elections. And she writes, and in all honesty, we are looking at your energy and high godly performance level on a daily basis. Of course, it is God, but your life really shows us what is possible with God. So take heart in that, she writes. A nice bit of encouragement coming from Massachusetts. This email coming from the Philippines, it says, I was thinking that our time today, more than any other point in history, that the Bible is proving to be right all along. The prophecies are coming to life. I've witnessed many things that Mr. Armstrong wrote long ago. Something is coming. That comes from the Philippines. And then this one here from the UK over in Northampton, in response to what happened over the weekend with French President Macron saying what he said at the ceremony on Sunday. We discussed this at length on yesterday's show and then wrote about it last night in the Trumpet Brief. It says, I actually could not believe Macron said what he did, but he is the man that accepted Mr. Trump's hospitality and then betrayed it in his speech to Congress when he was safely on his way out the door. Don't forget, he came from nowhere at the last minute to take power in France. This one here comes from Ireland. It says, I've been a regular reader of the Trumpet. I'm based in Limerick, Ireland. As per the French, being mainly descendants of Reuben, who are the Irish in relation to the 12 tribes of Israel? Well, we've got an email response that we're preparing for that listener. As I say, he comes from Ireland. This one here says, when I heard the comments Mr. Macron made, I wasn't really surprised that he said it. To me, it shows how unthankful they are in regards to what America has done for them as a nation during and after World War I and World War II. Another one says, I suspect that Macron and the young Austrian president will be the puppets of Germany's Gutenberg when he rises to power. This one coming from the UK says, thank you for a fabulous article once again. It shocked me as what you have been telling me for over a year is now happening before our eyes. I'm shocked in a happy way as I have faith that God is in control of all things. And he says here, say hello to your father. Tell him I love the Key of David program. I look forward to it every week. Another one here says, yes, I was actually quite shocked to hear Macron's words. I've always viewed France as wishy-washy, but these comments really went over the top. I can see how all of these prophecies are coming to pass, and it frankly unnerves me because of the seeming speed of it all. Another one writes, the Macron remarks about a need for an EU army to defend itself from Russia, China, and the United States were very eye-opening. They actually backed up an article I read in the Trumpet magazine 2 or 3 years ago. That article discussed the fact that an EU army was quietly building. Well, if you've been reading the Trumpet, of course, as this man has, we've been writing about this for a number of years, and I know it's something that European bureaucrats have discussed for years, for decades, in fact, but it is coming to pass. Slowly but surely, and I would imagine there's going to be a big breakthrough in the days ahead for this Euro force, this Euro military force But this listener here says, the EU has been building this army for some time. It's all coming to pass. That indeed. This one here, in response to my father's video, which was posted Sunday night following his first night at the campaign in Columbus, and this listener was very excited to see that posting. It says, this morning, going to work at 5 a.m., the very first thing I saw on my phone from YouTube was Gerald Fleury's program. I was amazed that it was about the big events in France from over the weekend. What a blessing to watch this while I was riding the bus to work. Mr. Fleury hit the nail on the head with what's going on in the world right now. Wow, and thank you. Another one here writes, hearing the program this Monday morning was a real eye-opener for me, linking Reuben's plight with his brother's, with our nation in France, became so visible, it was like a sudden clarification of a prophecy read many times before. Thank you for this significant insight of today's world situation. And of course, you can get to this program, as you can to all of our programs, by going to thetrumpet.com website. We post all of these daily radio programs there at the website and also at kpcg.fm. Another response here coming from British Columbia, it says, we in our household are affected deeply by the rapid fulfilling of Bible prophecy. Truly stunning commentary on behalf of French President. We hope our understanding is in sync with all who believe the word of holy prophecy. Thank you for inviting our input. Our prayer just became a bit more intense. That from British Columbia. And then another one from the same area, the same region, British Columbia. It says, you have superbly articulated something I was working on myself, for I too heard some, but not all, of Macron's insulting and disgusting comments, and had a hard time believing he actually said them. I was intending to search for some newspaper clippings on the subject, but of course, most papers didn't cover it. I was aware of France being Reuben, but had forgotten the part about Reuben and Joseph in the desert. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense now. And once again, your Trumpet News Service is the only one telling the whole story. Another one here responding to yesterday's show and then the follow-up Trumpet brief. It says, Reuben is a very proud individual who wanted to please both sides, his brothers, and at the same time take credit for purporting to have saved Joseph in the eyes of their father. However, the brothers knew his weakness and cut his game plan. Another one very succinctly says, the covering up of real history is a big problem. Keep reporting. Thank you. And then this one here says, I think that the world's countries have passed the point of no return and have refused to repent of their sins. Mankind has not learned anything. Mankind's carnal nature and self-indulgent sinful ways have kept them from realizing their full potential. Satan is taking a huge toll on man. I pray that more of my fellow man be brought to the truth of our Creator in these desperate end times. This one here says, in regard to Macron's remarks regarding a European army, President Trump, etc., I'm actually filled with righteous indignation. Though I am far from being a righteous person myself, I noticed a few days ago during the build-up to the armistice ceremonies in France, which President Trump attended, that there was TV footage of Macron standing close to Angela Merkel. She took hold of Macron and rubbed her nose against the side of his face. She gave him a squeeze. They muttered inaudible comments to each other, then smiled briefly. That moment spoke volumes to me, thanks to the insight I have gained over the past 9 or 10 years as a Trumpet reader. The French puppy and his German master. The French have short memories, this listener writes. Your take on the current set of circumstances, plus your remarks about the French being definitely part of the prophesied beast power while Britain is on the way out of the beast, staggering in their accuracy. It says, if people were in a building and a fire alarm went off, they would run for safety. The Trumpet Magazine and the PCOG, through the wonderful efforts of its staff, are sounding the alarm that Herbert Armstrong sounded so many years ago. Shockingly, people are ignoring it. Carry on the good work, and God bless your efforts. This final one here came in the form of a poem. I'll try to do it justice here. It says, while listening to today's Trumpet Daily and being once again educated by your presentation of Reuben's betrayal of his brothers, my pen was copying down your oration. It says, of Macron's definition of nationalism and controversially what his happens to be, adherence to patriotism, exposing France's position in biblical prophecy. Then, it says, then before hearing the recording to the end, duty calling when returning to finish, on only listening to the end of your story, a penned manuscript we failed to accomplish. But on checking the emails for this day, there was only one right at the top. Trumpet brief with guess what? Hooray! The story details typed right on my laptop. You ask if you'd like to respond to or give thoughts on how all this strikes you. Just click on the email address. I did. Thanks for your way of training, the very elect few. So a nice poetic way to end this segment. All of these emails that have been coming in the last few days, we really do appreciate your feedback. If you'd like to send in an email, you can send that to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll see you tomorrow.